Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Come again, less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 91 of the Reapers Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and today we have a real treat in store for you. But before we get there, I must say, Mr. Archie Kirsten, you're looking tanned, you're looking wonderful. How's everything going?
In the summertime, when the weather is hard, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather is right, you got chicas on your mind.
Good, you're in a good mood again. Sun brings the best out of you, doesn't it?
I love starting the podcast with a song. I think it puts me in a really good mood, puts you in a really good mood, and puts the listeners into a bloody good mood.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They know it's a good pod when I start singing.
It is a good pod, hopefully, in store for them today. But before we get there, you are looking tanned, you're looking relaxed. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The weather, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not one normally for weather chat, but my God, it's bloody boiling.
How often have you been using sort of weather banter this week?
I mean, it is just extraordinary. Every time I'm on the phone to a client, we're chatting about it, and like one of my favorite things to say to them is like, it's like we're like in another country.
Yeah.
I'm like, I had this really funny conversation with one of my clients who I know really, really well. And he was saying his brother had gone away this week to France, and it's hotter here in England than it is in France.
God. And then what? Oh, that was it. That's right.
We were just laughing. We really
did. Well, it was 32 degrees.
We laughed so much because it is funny that he went away for the weather in France. Consequently, it's now hotter here.
I mean, it's not that funny.
It was a real trip. It was a lovely, lovely conversation. And I've been having conversations like that all week. And when the weather's out, everyone's in a bloody good mood. And business is good. I mean, the market is still buoyant. I will say that.
Well, do you think that when the sun shines, business improves? I mean, do you think more deals are done?
Is that clinically proven? I think people just want to get out there when the weather's good.
Ned rooftop models.
I'm on the rooftop of the Ned, or I'm out the whole time for lunch at the moment, sitting outside, working my tan. I mean, look, my boss said this week, it's bloody hot on Monday. No one coming to the office, just work from home. That's the kind of world we live in, I'm fine with. I'm a bit of an office hermit, but, you know, I took that opportunity and I was out on Crop and Common in my budgie smugglers, taking calls, pinging emails. And honestly, I thought life could not get any better.
Well, it was a crazy week besides the weather, Archie, because obviously the Prime Minister steps down, Bojo.
Yeah.
Some say that you throw any name in the hat, obviously jokingly, hopefully not. But also, crazy, crazy scenes on the Northcote weekend, international rugby, Northern Hemisphere teams, 5 wins out of 5.
Firstly, Clody, you know, just in terms of Clapham matters, and as CEO of Clapham, I was incredibly proud of the area this weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Because when the weather is that good, it really does highlight how bloody good Clapham is. I mean, I was on the common sunbathing with a couple of boys. We had a pill, throwing about, had a bit of 3-on-3 touch. It was bloody brilliant. And we looked around and you really couldn't see an ugly person in sight. I just think Clapham is that kind of area where beautiful people come. And I do think there's a BBC documentary
on what?
You know, the migration of beautiful people to Clapham. Because for 2-3 weeks in the summer, Clapham is invincible.
Yeah.
And we're in that period now. It is quite a special period. I would say it's the equivalent of Christmas for Clapham. And we were just on the comedy the other day, and I was just like, wow, there are great guys and great Nick. Fair play to him. You know, you don't see many sloppy rigs.
No.
And if there was a sloppy rig, I didn't see it.
So, no. Well, I'm sure.
And the cheekers just look so good. I mean, the best thing about summer is girls don't want to wear much and girls are tanned. And for me, that is two things I look for in a woman. You know, my Saturday was perfect, really, because I woke up, watched the Ruggers.
Yeah,
okay,
amazing.
England, absolutely special. Didn't expect anything else, really, because last week, did a call to arms.
You've done your motivation
to cry. The amount of players in that rugby team that follow me.
It's quite embarrassing
it is
for them.
Kind of like I'm in that squad.
Yeah.
I probably played more of a part in the England squad in this Australia tour than George Furbank.
That's actually a very good point.
That is a fair point. After the game, Clody,
yeah,
it was brilliant. I got in my old university rugby vest.
Right.
Rugby university.
A look you rock
sort of
a lot
shorts,
on the weekend, yeah.
Which is a sweet look because it's colour coordinated. Chucked on my trainers. I just went for a jog through Battersea Park and that's just a really good look because a lot of people are having beers, like relaxing, and I'm there just getting up a sweat. I'm burning calories while people are intaking them, and I think that's a really strong look and a really strong statement. And I saw a lot of people look at me and be like, wow, that guy's dedicated. Finished up the run, headed to the common, met the boys. I mean, it was pretty much the perfect weekend. Just sat in the common, drinking. I think like the best thing about this weather, you could literally sleep in the common, which I did at Neo because I got so drunk. I like passed out.
Daddy daycare, you better beware. A baby's on the way, but Archie don't care. It's time to sit back and rewind, try and plan out the line, because the baby's on time.
So Archie, I thought it was a good time to check back in on the progress of your cinema.
We're
only 2 months away now.
Not long to go, yeah.
We're getting distracted.
Just under 3 months.
Just under 3 months.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I think it's the next step in my career.
I'm sure the listeners will be interested to know, what are the preparations like?
Preparation should be good, Clody. A lot of people have said that I should do something called the NCT. But that just sounds like I'd be hanging around with a lot of low basic salary people talking about uninteresting things.
NCT is when they prep you for the baby coming.
I'm all about instinct. That's how I play rugby. That's how I work in the city. And that's how I'm going to be as a father. I'm going to act on instinct.
Right.
So yeah, preparation is good. Still got my weights in the nursery, but I will move them. Can you write that down, actually?
Yeah, sure.
Just to remind me, I should move the weights this month because... Yeah. Should get things get up and going. And trying to find a nanny, Clody, is turning to be quite problematic because my criteria is quite specific to what...
Well, it's quite creepy, what you want.
No, I'm just
the way
saying
you spoke to that lady.
Athletic.
Yes.
Good looking.
Yeah.
Flexible. Time-wise and body-wise. Okay. And also needs to be single.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, because mate, I don't want them getting pregnant. That would completely scupper everything.
All right,
I have to go and find another nanny. So what I've done this week is to offset that, I've called a nursery. What I'm going to try and do is find one of the best nursery areas. So I've been calling around. I think it went really well. Have a listen.
Good afternoon, Raphael Nursery. Colette speaking.
Oh, hi there. I'm just wondering if you can help me. I'm just calling around various nurseries in the area as I'm expecting my first one in September. I guess a few questions is, what age do you take a child in?
So we take them from 3 months old up to 5 years.
Okay, 3 months to 5 years. I just write that down. Okay, and in terms of learning, is that quite crucial where you are? I mean, will they be learning from 3 months?
We learn through play, so we don't sit down and teach them. But what we put out, so all the different activities we put out is designed to encourage learning in some way.
Okay, and just in terms of like the sporting curriculum, like, you know, do the kids play like ruggers or tennis or cricket or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so I'd have to sort of bring in a private person to do that. Okay. And in terms of languages, do the children learn languages? Because they're quite keen on him... picking up, right, I think he'll probably be take after me and work in the business world, but we're sort of Japanese or Spanish?
So we're a bilingual nursery of French-English.
Okay.
So they're the only two languages we do. Okay.
And what about gym routine? What will they be doing gym-wise when they sort of get to the right age?
We don't have any external activities coming outside. Everything we do is through our own practitioners.
Okay.
So we have a garden, so they will get outside time. We do things like running races, sporting events.
But if I donated a squat rack, could we put that in the nursery?
I mean, it would really depend because obviously it's all children.
Yeah. No, no, all the children could use it. I mean, it's a squat rack for everyone, but I just thought it'd be, you know, I'm happy to donate where I can to help the sort of physical development. And just in terms of food, what are they getting fed? You know, I'm very keen on fitness. I'm in great shape and hope to remain in that way for years to come. But, you know, what are you giving them? How much protein?
I'm not a chef or a nutritionist. So I wouldn't want to say how much protein or carbs they get. That is really not my field.
Okay. But if I wanted them to take on board extra protein and I provided that, that's not a problem.
We ask for food not to be brought from outside because we have children that have dietary requirements and have allergies.
Okay, I'll just lather him up with cottage cheese before he gets there then. And if I wanted to leave him over the night sort of boarding school wise for two or three nights, could I do that?
No, we are a day nursery only.
Okay. That's not a problem. Just so I know, is there any nurseries that provide boarding school facilities? So 6 months on?
That I know from this age, no. Not till they go to primary school.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, look, thank you so much. I'll definitely take on board what you said and I'll look at how much the squat rack is and be back in touch.
Okay, then.
Love and champagne.
Yeah, bye.
I'm incredibly excited, Cladders.
About what?
Well, the guests we got this week.
Oh, right, yeah, of course. Go on, tell me.
Well, as you know, one of the things we've been mentioning over the last couple of weeks is how me and Benders are thinking about going to play for Holland.
Yes.
And one of Holland's greatest rugby players, who actually never played for Holland, actually played for Scotland.
This is confusing.
Has been following me for quite a while. So connected with him, sent him a voice note, and he was like, yes, please. I bloody love the banter. I've got none other, Clodie, than ex-Newcastle, Edinburgh, Harlequins and Scotland international, Tim Visser.
Oh my God, yeah, top
and
from the Pro 14.
And this guy is loose. So I tell you what, give him the ball because I'm going to give a crossfield chat and see if he can catch it.
Oh, look at the lads, Jesus.
Vissy, this is what happens when you become a top three rugby podcast. My head's got big. And yes, I'm wearing sunglasses indoors.
I didn't know we were all wearing Ray-Bans. Are they real or not?
Yeah, of course they're real. Of course. When you're selling big advertising space on the third biggest rugby podcast, then you don't have to give anything to your partner. You can afford them.
Me.
Wow.
I'm excited. Such an honor to be on this podcast, having heard so much about it from Big DC.
Danny Kerr, what a man. What a man. One of the most capped players. I think him, Burnsy, Benders. And it's just great to have because we've obviously had Benders on, who's a soon-to-be Dutch international, and now...
Yeah, I've heard this story. Is this real or not?
It's happening. I'm looking at it, the possibility as well. I think I've got some Dutch in me somewhere, so...
I might become backs coach then, just so I can tell him what to do.
Who is the big-name Dutch player, except for your brother? Who is the main man at the moment?
You're fucking looking at him, boy.
Yeah, there he is, the ultimate ring.
Well, I mean, you are the main man at the moment, because I read an article the other day in the Times with you, Tim, where you said that you made so much money in the pandemic, it was almost embarrassing. It was ridiculous. Go and tell us about it.
I was like a shark in the water during the pandemic. People were inside. I was just hunting commercial property in the city centre. No, I mean, to be fair, it was a real challenge through a pandemic. Initially, the property market being shut for 3 months was hard. Seeing about a home probably brought about my divorce, which was also not great. But it did force us to kind of rethink the strategy, and we let's just drop that in there. We initially
happy divorce, by the way. Happy divorce.
Thank you. I'm not quite there yet, but well on my way.
Okay. Let me know when you want to have the party. We can go to Vegas or Tia and Clapham.
Right. Is that how it works? You have a stag do,
and then you have a divorce party. Yeah, and me and you would just go out. We'd get DC along, and we'd just go out in white V-neck T-shirts, and we would carve it up. We'd be like, all you need to say is, I used to play for Harlequins in Scotland. And DC would be like, I'm married, but I play for England and Harlequins. I'd be like, I'm just one of rugby's biggest influences of rugby, and I play semi-professional rugby for Clapham.
Mate, my hinge will be on fire after.
Yeah. Have you seen Freddie Burns recently? He's got me through some dark times these last 2 weeks.
To be fair, I dated a girl that he was trying to date for a wee while. So that's as close as I've got to Freddie Burns.
Yeah, but have you seen his most recent conquest? She is. Oh, she's phenomenal. She really is. She's dreaming.
You know who I matched with the other day on Raya?
Who's that?
You know, have you watched You on Netflix?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen You.
The mental bird that kills everyone. She popped up on mine and matched. And I went, oh no, not doing this. Not going anywhere near that.
What do you open up with, Vissi? Because obviously, yeah, there's so many different ways to you. You could be like, you know, do you enjoy rugby?
Question mark.
You do what?
Chances? Question mark.
Oh, yes. I like that.
No, I don't. I just say hi.
Vissi, where are you? Are you calling from London or?
Holland. No, I'm in Holland. I'm hiding in my pied a terre in Holland. So wow. My boat's just behind there. It's aptly called Try Time because that's how I paid for it. And I'm hiding here until shit blows over.
Whereabouts? In Amsterdam?
Yeah, 20 minutes outside Amsterdam. I'm in the Lake District.
I've got to link you up with Bendy's brother. He's out there. He'd be a great wingman for you.
Is he? Yeah. He's your best mate, right, Bendy?
Me and Bendy, yeah. We go back a long way. I've taught him a lot of things over the years. He wouldn't have the career he has today without me by his side.
I didn't even know he's still playing rugby.
Yep. Yeah, he's making that coin. You could go over there. They're giving it away in France.
Skinning him for Edinburgh pre-season against Bath. He was on his way to the bar and I was under the sticks. Ask him about that.
I will make a note of that and I will write a detailed email. Can you write an email to Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Just get Trisha to do it.
Well, Tim, talking about Edinburgh there, I mean, you are still Edinburgh's all-time top scorer, which is an incredible feat in its own right. But apparently, you know, you used to have a personalised number plate when you used to rock up to training, which said, started from the bottom, now we're here. Did you get quite a lot of abuse, from your fellow teammates for that?
Like, so much so that at one point when I made my debut for Scotland, it was in Fiji, and I was on a tour to Fiji, Australia and Samoa. I came back and they'd foil wrapped my whole BMW M3. It took me 2 hours to unwrap it. I was absolutely fuming.
Well, I was going to say, Tim, because you were telling us, you know, you're taking us through your incredible business career, your incredible rugby career, which we're going to touch on now, but also the fact that you are inspired by Mr. Archie Curzon's word. And I saw the other day a quote from you where you said you scored tries back in the day like people drink water. That's straight out of Archie Curzon's textbook. You know, was that something inspired by the words of the CEO?
Am I getting that tattooed?
Oh, it really was. I've been listening to you too much, Eric. Nah, it was a funny quote. And the journalist from the Times is a bit of a friend of mine. He actually used to be media manager at Edinburgh. And he's like, can I use that? And I was like, yeah, it'll be funny to see people's reactions to stuff like that. I quite like winding people up a bit. And most people, my good friends, know that I don't take myself too seriously. But it's funny when people think that I do.
Well, you know, mentioning 10 years since your debut against Fiji, where you scored, don't want to blow your own trumpet, but a try on each half to help your Scottish, your newfound country, claim victory over there. But what was it like making your debut out in Fiji? I mean, I can imagine the sort of the post-social was different to normal.
It was hellish. It was 38 degrees, high humidity. I remember me and Stuart Hawks, too, was still a little bit more ginger then than he is now. We were just trying to hide in the shade, not die from the sun. And it was just crazy. Like, Fiji is, it's a world apart. It's a beautiful country, but like it very quickly can feel like a third world country as well. Like some people live in straw huts there. It's like, it's very primitive, and it's an amazing place to have gone to visit. And it's incredible how many good rugby players come from there, especially when you see what they have to deal with over there. But to make your debut there is hard. It was so hot.
The way you describe Fiji is the way I would describe Middlesbrough.
Tim, obviously being Dutch, did you struggle? Because, you know, we've had over 12 Scottish internationals on this pod.
We recently had Greg Laidlaw. How big is his? Because we've been told by various sources he is packing some heat.
Oh, fuck. It is incredible. He has got a monster cock on him. It's like, unbelievable. It is large. I used to try and not stand next to him in the shower because he used to just make me feel so tiny.
It's bloody impressive. It's a real nugget we found out on this podcast. And it's got a story of its own.
Yeah.
He would fight Sean Lamont for biggest cock in rugby, I reckon.
Wow.
We can make that happen.
ITV4?
We need to get a sponsor.
ITV4.
ITV4. Cock off.
Yeah. Even get budgie smugglers involved.
Yeah, Haskell to DJ Live. It'd be great.
Did you always have it at the back of your mind you're going to play for Scotland? You just didn't. That was never.
No, the day I moved to Scotland, I qualified to play for England because I'd been in England for
3 years. I mean, I played England 18s with Danny. I think Cipriani was in that team. Joe Simpson was in that team. Because I went to school in England. I went to Barnard Castle.
Oh, so minor private school.
A minor rugby private school in the Northeast. Yeah, I played 18s. I was in the Intermediate England Academy at the time. I just kind of rolled through that a bit. I started playing for Newcastle. And then there was a lot of coaching changes at Newcastle at the time. The new coach didn't really like me. I didn't like him at all. And when my contract finished, I just needed a job. So I ended up moving to Scotland the day I qualified to play for England. Not that I would have played for England, but yeah, I didn't move to Scotland with the intention to play for Scotland.
But Tim, tell us about that, because first season at Newcastle, you get a couple of games, you actually score on your Prem debut, the winning try against Worcester, but that's by the by. You get shipped off to the third division, second year, you don't get much of a look in. So you must have been thinking, realistically, before Andy signed you for Edinburgh, my professional rugby career may be over here.
Yeah, I probably did. I mean, I was a young kid, so everyone that was in that sort of Newcastle Academy would have had a satellite club that they played for. They weren't playing for the first team, which was almost always at that age. So I think more was made of that than it really was. I used to play for Mowden Park if I wasn't playing for the first team or if there was no academy teams. But I did have a stint at Northampton in my third year with Newcastle, I think, when Chris Ashton signed for Northampton. He didn't even know the rugby rules. So they kind of shipped me in for a couple of weeks to play for the first team in the championship back then so that he could kind of learn the rules, I guess. And I mean, as soon as he did, I think he set the record for most tries in the championship ever.
So you kind of set the way for him.
I basically did. I remember walking into a change room. We were in the showers and, correct me if I'm wrong, he's from Hull, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wigan.
Wigan.
Big tattoo on his ass saying Hull. And I was like, all right, just so you don't forget you're from Hull. And he's like, oh, no, you should get one. You should get one on your ass saying Holland. And I was like, yeah, don't think I'm going to. But I mean, great guy. I last time I saw him, I think, was at Danny Kerr's stag do in Ushuaia, which was a quiet one.
Was that good fun? Yeah,
He killed it. He killed it in rugby. I mean, he's still how he's still bloody playing says something about his fitness. It's incredible.
Great lead as well. Just tell us about Kersey's stag do. Was Wayne Bridge there?
No, I think this was before he became friends. So their kids go to the same school. So I think my friendship with him has been replaced with his friendship with Wayne Bridge. To be fair, he's gone one up. it was a good stag do. It was also my brother's stag do. So we all ended up in the VIP at Ushuaia watching Martin Garrix on a Friday or Thursday night, I think it was, in the likes of Hugo Monya, Joe Marler, I think. My dad was so pissed. He could not stand up. I reckon he spent 45 minutes on his knees, on his hands and knees, crawling through this VIP. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was a good start.
You've mentioned that you used to suffer from nightmares before big games. What were the worst nightmares scenario-wise you sort of woke up to? And also, do you still suffer from those a day before a big business meeting?
I wouldn't say I have big business meetings.
This is kind of like a big business meeting. I think this is the biggest meeting I've had. Yeah, this is going swimmingly.
Yeah, this is, I mean, so far we're going incredibly well.
I think we could be going into business together after this.
There must be a gap in the market for this kind of shit.
Yeah, there will be. There will be. Your property nows and my chat. Yeah. And then the dream would be get Jamie Roberts' face involved in it.
The jaw. Get the jaw back in.
Wow, it'd be unbelievable. And then we get James Holwell to come and join us.
Kevy. Yeah. Kevy's back in England later this month, to be fair.
Yeah, but he's from Putney, so I'm not sure.
I know, he's from Putney, and also his dad's a billionaire, so he doesn't really need the help.
Yeah. That's what I really respect about him. His dad is a billionaire. I respect him.
To be fair, I don't know, like, made it from scratch. Kevy, on the other hand, was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah, but I respect that more because that's a hard thing to deal with. A lot of cash without working for it.
Yeah, it must be so hard.
That's the cross I bear. I'm hoping to invest my dad's money.
Hold on. Back to nightmares.
Sorry.
Yeah, Andy Robinson made the mistake of telling me that I was going to be playing against the All Blacks like 6 weeks before the game. So I was like, oh, fuck. Like, obviously, one of the biggest teams, undoubtedly one of the best teams in rugby. And I started having like nightmares where I was standing there in front of the hacker and I looked down and I was not wearing pants. And I was like, fuck, this is not good.
Unless you're Greg Laidlaw. You know,
yeah, next to Greg Laidlaw with that massive little baby arm of his. No, it's, that haunted me for a couple of weeks, yeah. Definitely.
Well, obviously your story is incredible and incredibly unique. You're the first professional rugby player to come out of Holland. Your dad played 60 odd times for the country, but not professionally at that point. But you grew up in a village near Utrecht. So tell us how...
That's a brilliant way, the way you say that.
Utrecht. But tell us quickly how you became like the first pro player. How did you come over to England from Utrecht?
It was just pure luck. I played at Amsterdam Sevens in a mixed team with a couple of English professionals or semi-professionals and a couple of Dutch talents. And I ended up playing quite well, but Joe Shaw was there. He's now coaching Saracens, but at the time he was playing for Newcastle. And he was like, right, I'm going to tell our academy manager at Newcastle at the time, a guy called John Fletcher, I'm going to tell him about you. It might well be that he wants you to come over for sort of like a trial or something. And I was like, yeah, fine. I think when he told me, I was severely stoned. And I was like, yeah, fine. And he ended up taking, we ended up going over together with one of my other friends and did a trial there and must have, you know, impressed enough that they ended up offering me a spot at Barnet Castle School, which was a weird old experience when you come from a liberal country like Holland to then suddenly being Sir this and Sir that and uniforms and all that kind of stuff. But no, I actually ended up loving it. Being in a boarding house with a load of other boys that like playing rugby was really good.
Yeah, it's bloody good. I love boarding school. It's my favorite.
Would you go back now if you could?
Yeah, I would love to do that. I dream about that day that we could recreate Leckenfield boarding house and I just go back to my room. Yeah, yeah. It'd be brilliant. And I look at all the writing I wrote underneath because I did all like, yeah, little bits. All of my love life was on there.
What, with the other boys?
No, it was actually...
I was going to say.
No, it's just I fell in love with a girl called Clara Whitman.
Still speak to her or not? Have you found her recently on social media again?
It's one of those things. It's a real bugbear. I was talking about it the other week, is that she's on private, so I can't really get a close-up on that
it's
LinkedIn.
So annoying.
So, like, I'm not going to follow back. I need to have a look at the goods first. Do you know what I mean? I'm into girls this that just take photos of themselves. Like, I was seeing a girl for a while and all her photos were just selfies. And I just thought, right, that is brilliant. I really respect that. It's great.
Someone that's as self-obsessed as you are.
No, I really respect it. I mean, my Instagram is just me talking. Yeah. But it's helpful. It's helping others.
Classic narcissist.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things. Me, James Smith, PT... and this girl, Clara Whitman. It would be amazing.
Commercial break. Oh, look at that bush grow. Oh, your fucking big bush grow. Oh, look at that bush grow. Oh, your fucking big bush grow.
Hey, do you have a bush? Do you have a bush? It's a simple question. Open your trousers, wherever you are, the tube at work. Go on, take them down now. Have a look. Do you have a bush? You are a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, that is disgusting. No one of the cheekies are coming nowhere near you. Go to the Manscaped website, and we're giving you 20% off and free postaging and packaging with the code RIGBIZ20. So get hold of a Lawnmower 4.0, the most premium electric trimmer. It's a bush's worst nightmare. And take it down there and seamlessly get rid of that horrible, horrible bush. Actually, why not get the performance package? Also, they'll throw in a weed whacker so we can get rid of those nasty ear hairs and no hairs. And then also, smother your balls in crop preserver and ball deodorant so the ladies will love the testy toner. You'll also get two free gifts, a wonderful travel bag, which Archie always takes on the tube, and a high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Bucky's, the most premium on the market. Trust me, we wear them every day. So go to the Manscaped website and put in the code RIGBIZ20, and this time next week, you won't just be bushless, but you'll finally be ploughing your cheek. Tim, talking about a man who wasn't, you know, all about himself, was Mr. Johnny Wilkinson, incredibly shy man. when you played for Newcastle, he was still knocking about. Tom May, Ollie Phillips. Just give us a flavour of some of the big characters in Newcastle and what life was like. Because Biggsy said it was a good night out.
Yeah, it was amazing to come into that. And like, strangely enough, Newcastle didn't perform that well back then, considering how many good players they had. But that meant that younger players very quickly got a chance there. So I came out of school. I made my debut in my first year. And Toby Flood. So there was a real mix of younger players getting opportunities and some really phenomenal older players. I remember Carl Heyman came there on what was deemed to be the biggest contract to date in the Premiership back then, which was something like 300K, I think. And I was good. This is funny. I was good friends with the Newcastle goalie at the time, Tim Krul, who was in the academy at Newcastle United. And I remember telling him this story. It's like, you know, we've just signed the best played rugby player in the Premiership. He's on 300K. And he kind of looked at me and he laughed. And I was like, what? He goes, oh, I'm more than that. And he was 17 in the academy at Newcastle United as a goalie. It was a bit turbulent because I discovered the nightlife. You know, Newcastle being a great night out almost every night of the week did not really help my my career. But I mean, I certainly look back at it fondly. You know, the fact that we had something like, in my time there, I think I had something like four coaches in 3 years or something like that, which was tricky.
It's just not a good place for rugby union, is it? Let's face it, it's just not.
It should be, though.
But people aren't buying into it.
Yeah, it's weird because they've got a good stadium, they've got a pretty good fan base, they just don't perform well week in, week out.
Tim, talking Newcastle, obviously, you know, we touched on your struggles there, or the team struggles in general, but then suddenly you move to Edinburgh and you're the top try scorer in the Pro 12 4 years running, an incredible change of form, and that gets you into the Scotland team. So travelling the world of Scotland, Fiji and the likes, who was the worst roommate you ever, you know, had the pleasure or the misery of sharing a room with, and also who was the loosest teammate you ever played with in that team?
Jeff Cross, by far the worst roommate. I used to come in to the room and he was playing something like RuneScape or some other mythology game on his iPad. Ooh. Completely naked, but he would always lie on his side with one leg sort of like half up, so I would always look straight down into the darkest alley of his body. Ooh. Which was just horrific. And I mean, he's a character in any case, but by far the worst roommate. Loosest teammate, I mean, there's been a few. Like Ryan Wilson loves a drink. He is incredibly loose. I mean, loosest teammate. It's
always. Were you there the night you got arrested or not?
No, that was with Glasgow, I think. That was England. Wasn't he? He was dressed as Spider-Man or something, wasn't he?
Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Batman, yeah. Sums him up, to be fair.
Fissy, just in terms, obviously, you're an incredibly open character and you kind of, you sort of get the impression you say it as you see it. Did other people ever take offence to that?
Oh, all the time. Because I say the first thing that comes into my head. I mean, classic Dutch paired with being a full-blown extrovert does not help with that. And I think in every team environment, I would walk in, I'd have like 40 best friends and there'd be 10 guys who absolutely fucking hated me every time, every team. When I came to Quinn's in 2015, when Conor O'Shea was there, that's probably the most at home I felt in a team. I remember sitting in Nice, in next to Nick Easter. We played Lyon in the European Challenge Cup final in 2015, it would have been, I think, or 16. And afterwards, big Kevin Horwell, no doubt, hired a private plane to fly us from Lyon to Monaco to Nice for the Cannes Film Festival. So eight of us jump into this plane. Danny Kerr was there, Will Collier, Kevy, obviously, Jamie Roberts. So there was eight of us and we flew down there and ended up having a crazy 24 hours where Jamie had arranged for us to go into the Veuve Clicquot tent or marquee overlooking the pits for the classic Grand Prix. It was the week before the main Grand Prix. And we got absolutely shit-faced, tried to steal bottles of Veuve as we walked out, succeeded. And we felt like absolute kings walking out of there. And we've got this water taxi booked to this restaurant, maybe a bay along, And like, we were all shit faced and we're walking out of there and like standing ovation because everyone's realized that I've got two bottles of Ova under my shirt. And we're walking out feeling like rock stars and we're jumping in this taxi, but we're obviously quite heavy. There's eight of us. And as we come out of the bay, the captain, we were fucking around with something. Nick Easter was jumping on the front of the boat or something. And we catch this wave and the whole boat starts filling up with water, right? So even I was like, I'm used to boats. I was like, oh, fuck, we're going down. And the captain's like, I'm turning this thing around. You're going back. And we were like, no, mate, you can't do that. We've just left this tent looking like absolute legends. We can't come back in a half-sunken boat. So we gave this guy some cash and we forced him to go around the bend. And we ended up making it to this restaurant. And as we get to this restaurant, the guy's like, right, it's quite shallow here. So I'm going to go on anchor here. And you're just going to have to like waddle into the water and do the last bit. And everyone, one by one, like walks off the back of this boat thinking that it was like a wee step and people are just falling in like clothes and stuff. And it's an absolute massacre. And this whole restaurant is just looking at us like, who are these idiots? But I'm the last guy and I've got this Louis Vuitton in my hand, which has got all of our watches and phones and all that kind of shit. And I've still not clocked onto the fact that it's quite deep. So I take the next step and I go straight down into the water. I manage to keep the Louis above water. But as I get up, the boat bobs back and the propeller of the boat, which was turned off at the time, opens my back up. So I'm bleeding in my back pretty nastily. And we're getting into this restaurant and everyone's already like, what the fuck's going on here? But anyway, they patched it up. We sit down and there's this live band playing and they were playing like Save Tonight, Eagle Eye Cherry, that kind of stuff. But bearing in mind, this is like 1-2 o'clock. People are having a romantic lunch there. Within 2 minutes, Danny's standing on the table, shouting stuff, dancing. Within no time, the whole restaurant's erupting. And we are absolutely killing it. Then we ended up getting in a train back to Nice somehow. God knows where the train came from. Into the hotel, get changed around. And we had a boat, our coots. Who was sponsoring, I think Quinn's at the time, had a boat in the harbour for Cannes Film Festival. So we had a night booked on there and we were going into there. So Jamie's on his phone. He's like, right, I'm just going to order Uber's quick turnaround. And I'm rooming with him. And he's like, Uber XL, Uber Chopper. And we're like, what? So anyway, he goes, fuck it, I'm doing it. And he books his Uber Chopper. And within 5 minutes, this like Mercedes van picks us up, takes us to Nice airport. We're jumping into this chopper. It flies us into the harbor in Cannes. And we ended up having this unbelievable night on this boat. Ended up in a nightclub with Quade Cooper and Drew Mitchell, who were obviously friends of James Horwell's. Absolutely shit-faced and literally like weekend of our lives. But unbeknownst to us, the flight back was an EasyJet flight, right? So we're back into our team social on the Sunday in Wandsworth at that pub next to the station. No, the one next to us. We ended up in the ship at some point, which is probably the reason why a lot of us are still not allowed back into the ship. But we're on this flight and I'm in the window next to these two massive fat blokes, right? And I'm so hungover and I'm trying not to throw up. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like keeping it together until the fasten seatbelt light goes on. And the moment it goes on, I'm like, fuck. And I've ended up like, I was screaming at the stewardess. I was like, stop the plane. It's like, stop the plane. I need to throw up. And she's like, no, you need to fucking sit down. And we're like arguing. And I managed to keep it in until this fasten seatbelt lights come on. And I've never chundered so violently in an EasyJet flight before. So it was a bit of a come down that, but
that is extraordinary.
Crazy weekend.
Danny Kerr is an exceptional human being, isn't he? He is just unbelievable. What a human.
In every single way, he's unbelievable. We ended up doing a night out at the Box in Soho.
Yeah.
Horrific place, right? Like if you want to see horrific stuff, go in there. And we lived right next to each other in Cobham. So we were going back in an Uber and the next day he's like, mate, what happened in this Uber? I've got like a 400 quid bill. He's saying that you threw up in the Uber and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, mate, honestly, I don't think it's true. Like you should definitely challenge this car. I think I threw up out of the window, but definitely not in the Uber. So we're challenging this, right? Like a couple of hours later, we get this picture
from the Uber driver, and my hands are on the dashboard printed in sick. And I was like, yeah, I don't think we get out of this one. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine. But yeah, great, great guy.
That's great. Well, you've obviously lived an incredible life, played international rugby, done incredibly well, scored against All Blacks twice, which is just in its own right an amazing achievement. But you also had the honour of playing for the Barbarians on your 24th birthday in 2011, I believe. You scored the winning try and the dying embers of the game against England at Twickenham. We know that that is, I mean, you've just told us incredibly loose stories, but supposedly the loosest sort of week for a professional player. Just tell us how crazy things got in London and who were the best value teammates from around the world.
Yeah, so I rocked up. I was the uncapped player in that tour. So I rocked up and it was like the likes of Bastero, Carl Heyman, Joe Niekek, God, who else was there? Michalak was at 10, I think.
Oh, lovely.
Like the Joe Tacori, the quality was immense. And basically you rock up and it's a week on the piss, right? And we were staying in the Lensbury, I think, in Mayfair. Oh. But anyway, so we're there in the hotel. We're getting our bags checked for Twickenham, all the security checks. And then we've got our last sort of team meeting. And we all sit down and the president stands up and it was the old chap who actually recently sadly died. And he's like, right, guys, we've all had a fantastic week. I hope you've all enjoyed it. But one of us has just taken it a little bit too far. And we're all like, oh, shit. And he's like, we've had to inform the police. And suddenly all the lights go out and police sirens come on in this meeting room, right? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, fuck, I know what's happening here, because it was my birthday. And these two incredibly fat Brazilian strippers walk in, tie me to a chair, ladle me in baby oil, and then in front of my rugby hero, start slapping me with their tits and all sorts of stuff. It was horrific. And actually, I could not get that oil off my hands. So started the game, I drop a ball, which I'm pretty sure is because there is still baby oil on my hands. But yeah, this is 3 hours before the game, like incredible stuff. And then ended up beating England in the dying seconds. They beat Wales in the dying seconds the week after as well, I think. Does he have jab or does he have no jab? Does he have jab or does he have no jab? Does he have jab or does he have no jab? Gonna ask those questions now.
So let's start with Greig Laidlaw.
Chat.
Jamie Roberts.
Chat.
Hamish Watson.
Chat.
James Horwell.
Chat.
Mike Brown.
No chat.
Stuart Hogg.
Chat.
Finn Russell.
Chat.
Chris Robshaw.
No chat.
And Adam Jones.
Chat.
Fair play. People are getting generous in their old age, aren't they?
Yeah, Vissi, thank you so much. Give your time. That was awesome.
Yeah, mate, that was absolutely brilliant. Incredible. Yeah,
thanks for having me, guys. It's been a huge honour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What a guy.
I know rugby guys are loose, but that was just beyond.
Mate, he is a good guy. He's a high net worth individual who's got a lot of tries, in great shape, and has got the chat.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And he's got a lot of coin. I mean, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think me and him would have been quite prolific if we played together. It's a shame. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. Maybe I can.
Well, maybe there's a business deal to be done off the field.
Yes, definitely in the property world.
Though it seems like his business is going so well, he doesn't really need your help.
I think that's where you're wrong, Clady, because I can add that extra 0.5%, and a lot of businesses neglect that. And I think actually, if I went into business with Visa, well, certainly his Instagram followers would go up, and that would be good for business.
Chassis and Chicas, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. Triple A, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Gerson's question time.
So Archie, don't get too excited, but it's time to finish off with a quick Archie's question time.
Oh, Clody, I have really become very affectionate to this section.
You love it.
It's a great moment where we turn off the banter tap and we turn on the serious chat tap.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the moment, that sink is getting quite full of serious chat. Before we start, yeah. I know last week, Lenny, I asked you for the Serengeti sound.
Which was ridiculous,
yeah. Well, no, but I think it was a nice way to go into serious mode.
Okay.
This week I was thinking, what I really like is the sound of an eagle soaring through the sky.
What would the purpose behind that
Well, be? For me, Clodie, and I'm an animal lover, the eagle represents probably one of the most serious animals in the animal kingdom.
Serious.
Play the eagle soaring. Honestly, I've got a tear in my eye. That was beautiful.
That was just ridiculous.
I'm very serious at the moment.
Well, if you're feeling serious,
I could broker a deal right now. That's how serious I am. That's put me into business mode.
Well, you say you're serious. I mean, we've just gone through one of the most important and crazy weeks in politics and business in this country.
Yeah.
The economy's crashed. Boris Johnson's had to step down.
Yeah.
10 Tories are trying to take over as prime minister.
Yeah.
So I was hoping this being serious would get some serious questions.
Well,
asking you advice on business politics.
I've got to say, I think a lot of people listening are in the same position as me. I don't think I would ever feel a recession. I'm very fortunate. I mean, I can just about remember the last one. I think I did everything the same. I think I went in even more holidays.
Yeah,
and I think I went out the same time. So for me, I never really worry about that kind of stuff. I just do me. And I think that's a great way to be. If you just do you and don't worry about everyone else, then you should be successful. I mean, look at Boris Johnson.
But Archie, I was still hoping to get some serious questions.
We had serious questions every week.
And yet this is the only one we got from Louis.
Okay.
Hi, Archie. I hope you're all right, mate. Just a quick question, really, regarding the bedroom this time. You know what they say, sex is all about being creative and trying new things. So on that note, I was wondering where the strangest place you've ever had sex is and what is your signature position to Wild the Cheekers? Cheers, mate.
Oh, wow.
From around here.
I can tell by his accent, he will definitely feel the recession. I feel very sad for Louis.
Yeah.
Again, really good, very serious question, Clodie. Obviously, a lot of people know I've had a lot of sex.
A lot of what?
I've had a lot. And I think one of the craziest places I've had sex.
Yeah, go on.
Is on my floor, on my bedroom, because we fell off. We're having so much fun, and it was just wild. And normally, I like to be on my bed because it's foam, so it's good for the back and the spine. But we just fell on the floor, and we just carried on, and it was just wild. It was crazy, and I was like, we shouldn't be on the floor. The bed's right there. The bed's right there. And they were like, just carry on. And I was like, okay, all right.
But have you not had sex anywhere else? Like some crazy place, some, you know, proper places?
I'm quite the swordsman. But if you ask me what the craziest place is, what I'm trying to say is we were on the bed and then we fell off.
And then you're on the floor. And
we didn't even stop. And I was like, it's just there. That, for me, was one of the most wild nights ever.
Okay.
And then position-wise, what everyone knows, you know, one thing I'm known for is the vibrator. It's where I lie on top of the female, legs straight and tense.
Right.
Arms above my head in an arrow-like position.
Right.
Tense. And then I just hold my core as much as possible and I pulsate at rapid speeds. And I've not had any complaints. One thing that is key to that position is the breathing. Now, I know we've had a breath expert on this pod before.
Yeah, we haven't.
But with that position, it is quick and short breaths to go with the motion. It's sort of like... Now, you might find you run out of breath the first time you do it. But yeah. I can do that for like 3 minutes solid.
Well, Archie Curzon, that was exhausting but incredible.
Oh, it really, really was a great podcast. Yeah. It was very similar to the weather we're having at the moment. Just
glorious.
Absolute bliss.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a rich frame of form at the
doing
moment.
Okay.
Clearly.
Doing okay.
Just so lucky for the listeners to listen to this every week. I mean, I'm jealous of them. I mean, I would love to have a podcast where someone had as good a chat as I did. I was just listening to it.
Yeah.
Let me know if you find one. I don't think you will.
No.
But it's probably a time to say to the listener, you're welcome.
Well, they are welcome. Another thing they should be welcome for.
Bloody good podcast.
Is that incredible discount code we've got for them.
Such good fun.
For all the Manscaped products they could ever need.
Yeah, I mean, with the weather like it is, now's the time to strike. Use the code RIGBIZ20, get 20% off, free shipping. Get rid of that bush.
Yeah, just sort yourself out.
You'll look much better than your budgie smugglers.
You really, really will.
And it's actually a lovely feeling when it glides across your pubes.
Well, also, we're going to be in a heat wave for the next couple of weeks at least. It's going to be hot until October. Just sort yourselves out, boys, because there's nothing a chica hates more than a bush.
Well, I tell you what, Freddie, I am going out now. I'm going to go and get the last bit of sun. How tanned am I? You're quite impressed.
You're quite tanned. You are quite tanned.
I'm actually loving it. I was saying to my boss this week, like, if next week is like this, I'm pretty much going to be on Clapham Common in a pair of budgies, taking calls and pinging emails. Because I tell you, that's the way to do business.
What, you're going to work from the Common?
Yeah, I think that's... When I was on the Common last Monday doing that, I genuinely was like, wow, this is what it would be like to live in Vadalobo doing business. And I got quite excited for like when I'm like 55, 60 and I'm probably on my third marriage. I'm living out there. Cannot wait.
But with summer being the best time to socialise and be out and about, the days longer, the nights, you know, balmier. Are you dating anyone before the arrival of your baby?
Clovis,
come on. We haven't spoken about this in a while.
Look,
since Miss Middlesbrough.
There are always chicas sliding into the DM.
Yeah, but doesn't mean
I've recently had some quite good comments about my calves on the Wasp video we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Some news coming out about that next week.
That's incredibly exciting.
So, yeah, there are some chicas.
But apart from them complimenting your calves, has it gone any further?
It's difficult. When the weather's this good, it's also about the boys.
Yeah, but
when you're with the boys, with the pill in the comment, there is no better feeling. Chicas are good. Yeah, but when the weekends,
Archie,
with the boys.
Yeah, but Archie, mate, in winter, you said, it, you know, you've got the Falcons on the weekend, so you can't date.
Yeah, and also,
it's winter, you've got to stay busy, Q1, Q2. When are you ever going to get out?
Clovis.
No, I'm worried about you.
Clovis, don't you worry about me, mate. Okay. Chassis on point. Mm. Coins in the pocket.
Okay.
And chat, as everyone can hear, is on fire. Chicas will be coming, don't you worry, but I tell you what, there is nothing better than being in the Common with the boys.
If I fell off tomorrow, would you still love me? If I didn't smell so good, would you still hug me? If I got locked up and sentenced to a quarter century, could I count on you to be there to support me mentally? And if I ever had to go to buy a Benz, would you be a sponge like some of my friends? If I was hit and I was hurt, would you be by my side? If I was time to put in work, would you be down and ride? No, I'd do anything that I could do to make you mad. I'm asking questions just to find out how you feel inside. But it'll take more than that just for me to see that you could be ashamed to tell your friend you're feeling me. If I went down a little lower, would you like that? If I wrote you a love letter, would you write back? And we can have a little drink, you know, a nightcap. And we can go the way you like, I know you like that. Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you know me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me? Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you know me if I was down?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.